You are listening to BensTorah.com.
No matter who you are, El has been a nice, powerful, important month. And Rosh Hashanah is 4 days from now, no matter how you slice it. And it's a time when we're, our job, our opportunity, as the Rav said, is to look, to change, to be different, to have a better year than the year that passed, to hope that Hashem will give us a better year than the year that passed, and hope that our actions will be better than the year that passed. And it's this question that bothers me every year at this time. We're all good people. No one's coming out of the house at 9:30 on a Mitzvah Shabbos after a long Shabbos. It's a rainy day from the morning to the night, if not for the fact that you're a good person. And this is my question. If we're good people, why do we mess up so often? If we're good people, why do we speak Lashon Hara so often? Why do we get into little disputes with our spouses, hopefully only little? Why is it that sometimes children, good kids, are disrespectful to parents? Why do we waste so much time learning? Why do we seem so distracted? Why is it that we don't dive in the way we'd imagine? We're good people. Why aren't we all good? I don't know. I need another IV on this side. I don't know if a cup of water is going to help. What? It's okay. I'll try to manage. Thank you. Where are you putting it in here? It's going to slip. I'd like to try and identify what makes good people slip up so much. And my hope is that we could identify this root cause. Maybe we can make one small shift that'll make a humongous difference. So I'm going to begin with a Gemara in Bava Basra. The Gemara says like this. It's a fairly classic Gemara. I'm going to assume most in this room have heard this Gemara before. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yonasan. My dechsev, what does the pasuk mean when it says, Al keim yomru hamoshlim bo cheshbon? The moshlim, the rulers say, come to cheshbon. It literally means that Klal Yisrael is traveling through the desert and they're going to a city of cheshbon, named cheshbon, to conquer it. Says the Gemara, hamoshlim elo hamoshlim b'yitzah. The moshlim, the rulers, means the rulers over the Yitzhara. Bo cheshbon. What does it mean to come to Cheshbon? Bo unechashev cheshbonus alaylam. Come and calculate life. What are the calculations of life? Hefsid mitzvah, the loss of performing a mitzvah, keneged schara, against its gain. The loss of performing a mitzvah against its gain. Uschar avera, and the reward of doing an avera, keneged hefseda, against its loss. Did you put sugar? Did you put honey? Did you put lemon?
Of course I put sugar. Thank
you.
Sorry.
Okay, but sugar.
Even the honey for Rosh Hashanah.
Okay, thank you. Oh, look at that. I can't speak with a mint candy in my... But I heard this is a wonderful shul, and now I'm seeing why. Like, you're nice, and you're... Also, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to hold this cup? Am I supposed to put it down? You want to stand there and help me? Thank you. Are you giving me more candy?
Yeah.
Okay. You see how kind this is? I got a whole slew of candies here. Look at this. And I got an iced tea. I just have no place to put it.
Right here.
I put the candy in my pocket. I'll make a beracha on the tea. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim melech haolam shehakol nehiyah bevaro. Okay. I can put it here. This is very kind. I got to come more often. Okay. Uschar avera keneged hefseda, and the gain of doing an avera against its loss. Tibana v'tikainin, the Gemara, the pasuk concludes, explains the Gemara, mata eisek enzak the Gemara, if you do this, you'll build in this world, and you'll establish it in the next world. What's the Gemara saying? Everyone knows this Gemara. The Gemara is saying that a person has to make a cheshbon nefesh. You have to analyze yourself objectively. Look at what you do right. Look at what you do wrong. calculate one against the other, evaluate one against the other, decide what you want to incorporate in your life and what you want to remove from your life. And if you make what we call a cheshbon ha-nefesh, if you make a cheshbon about yourself, that will establish you for this world and the next world. I have a number of questions. Question number one. I think a person who fights the Yetzer should be called a fighter. Call him Al-Kain Yaimu Ha-Leichmin. What does it mean, Ha-Meishlim, the rulers? Question number two. When I think of a mitzvah, I think of reward. How come the way the Gemara presents it is Hefsin mitzvah keneged schar, the reward of a mitzvah against its loss. It sounds like, the loss of a mitzvah against its gain. What do you mean you're starting off your mitzvah with a Hefsin? When I do a mitzvah, I'm thinking schar. What do you mean Hefsin mitzvah? And then question number three is the flip side. Uschar aveira. Can I get a seir? Why are you starting off Avera with schar? I always think of Avera as having Einish. What do you mean, uschar Avera? Why is that how you initiate the conversation? Why, when you talk about a mitzvah, is your main point the Hefsid? And when you talk about an Avera, is your opening point the schar? And finally, my fourth and final question is, I understand how this helps me in the world to come. But what does it mean to Bane Ba'ilam Hazeh? I'm building in this world. How is this cheshbon ha-nefesh helping me in this world? Those are my four questions. Why are we called rulers? Why the hefsed of the mitzvah? Why the schar of the avera? And how is it helping us in this world? So here's where I think we get off track. I think we get off track because society has convinced us. I don't know who society is. I don't know if society is the marketing industry, I don't know if society is the media, social media, technology. I don't know if society is the abundance of materialism we have. I don't know what it is. But somehow society has convinced us to care a lot about small things and to talk a lot about small things. Because if we don't care about it, they can never convince us to buy it. If we don't care about it, they can never convince us to watch it. If we don't care about it, they can never convince us to scroll it. If we don't care about it, they can never convince us to chat about it. So society has convinced us to talk about things that don't matter that much, to think about things that don't matter that much, to buy things we barely even need, to watch things that we don't even care about a day later that we saw it. But they convince us that all of this is important enough to invest our time, our energy, and our money. And that's where most of our mistakes flow from. Most of what we do wrong is because we're pulled into things that don't matter and that we don't care about. And so that's where the shift happens. The shift has to be from thinking small to big. Let me share with you a pasuk. Pasuk says like this, Hanoten Bayam Darech. Someone who makes a road in the ocean. Ubemayim Azim Netiva. And in raging waters, again, he makes a path. The question that we saw recently is a path in the ocean? Usually a path is in a forest, in a field, on a road, on a street. What do you mean a path in the ocean? So I'm going to give you a number of answers to this question. The fourth answer is my main point. But all four answers are a beautiful, powerful lesson for the week we're in right now. The first answer is like this. When you walk on the street, you leave footmarks. You walk in the mud, you leave trace of where you were. When a boat is flowing in the sea, there's no trace that the boat was there. If you do tshuva properly, there's no trace of the mistakes of your past. Like a ship at sea, once it's gone, nothing is there to show for it. Explanation number two. What are the streets like in this area? What's the streets like here? Are they like Brooklyn where I come from? They're better, they're worse. There's parking here. They're clean. They're clean. Wow, that's a thing. So, I have no idea why I live in Brooklyn. It's a whole conversation for a different time. But for some reason, God decided that the Syrians should live in Brooklyn. Dumbest thing we ever did. Okay, that's not the point for now. It's beautiful, the heavy OP, the graffiti, the walking to shul this morning at 7 a.m. I saw some store. There were 7 cops in there. Doesn't look like they sold what they said they sold. That's Brooklyn for you. Anyhow, that's not my point. But the turnaround in our streets is sometimes difficult. Definitely in Brooklyn with one-way streets or busy streets, it's difficult. Whereas to turn a ship at sea is not that hard because there's a lot of space. So the ship, the boat, can easily turn. So too your path in your life. Tshuva is not as hard as it would be to make a K-turn on a street. It's as easy as it looks to turn a boat at sea. Explanation number 3. I love this one too. When we set our path in our life, each one of us has a very different path. You see, if you're driving on the street outside, the thousands of people who have driven on this street in the last few months all basically drove on the exact same inch. Yet the boats that are at sea, every boat goes a different way. I go this way, you go that way, you go that way. Same thing in life. Your path is different than his, which is different than his, it's different than hers, different than hers, different than mine. We each have our own path. So therefore, I know 10 bayam darech, you make a path at sea. That path, if you do tshuva properly, has no trace of your mistakes. That path is easy to turn, just like it's easy to turn a boat in the ocean. And that path gives you the space that each person can create his own path and his own journey in life. But it's the 4th answer that makes our point today. Why the sea? The answer is that when you have a road is limited, even if the road is 2 lanes, maybe it's 20 feet wide. If it's 6 lanes, maybe it's 100 feet wide, but it's wide, but it's limited. The sea is vast. The sea is large. Hashem says, when you choose your path, when you choose your life, pick a path at sea. Pick something big. Pick something powerful. Pick something important. When you're thinking about how to invest your time, where to put your energies, where to put your funds, where do you put it in? Do you put it in all kinds of little things? Or do you find a way to make a path at sea to find dramatic things to invest your energy into? I'd like to try and give you a little mushroom. This mushroom is actually from my son. So a few weeks ago, my son was trying to reach me and I didn't answer. Finally, I answered. And he's like, Dad, I have to talk to you. What do they say over here in 5 times? What do they call their fathers? Daddy. Okay, Abba. Good. Abba and Daddy. So we're Daddy. Syrians are Daddy. So, Dad, I have to tell you something. I have to talk to you. I said, Mike, I don't have any time. I'm sorry. I'm busy. I'm running. I'm assuring to repair. I have text messages to respond to. I have people I have to call back. I have a lot of things going on. I don't have time. He said, Dad, it's important for you. I'm like, Mike, I got no time. He calls me back 2 days later. Dad, I want to talk to you. I don't have any time. I'm sorry, I don't have time. I can't talk. Now comes Shabbos. He's buying me for Shabbos. He's married with a couple of kids. He lives in Lakewood. He's buying me for Shabbos. And we're walking to shul. My shul is a mile away from my house. He says to me, Dad, can I give you a mushel? I said, you're giving me a mushel? He says, yeah, I want to give you a mushel. I said, I thought it usually goes the other way around. But okay, whose mushel is this? He says, it's mine. I said, okay, let's hear it. He says, let's say I had a gift for you. I said, okay. 3 new cars. A Bentley, a Porsche, and a Ferrari. They drive them here? They drive that over here? Not really. Okay. By us, they do. A Bentley, a Porsche, and a Ferrari. I said, okay. He says, and I want to give it to you as a gift. I said, I'm a rabbi. I can't drive a Ferrari. He said, Dad, just play along. I said, I have no idea where we're going with this one. Okay. He says, but there's one rule. You can only have these cars if you put them in the driveway. If you park them on the street, you can't have the cars. I said, okay. He says, and you call me up and you say, I'm sorry, I can't take the cars. He says, and I say, why not? He says, and you tell me, I'm sorry, I can't take the cars because I have no room in my driveway. Because I have in my driveway a 1994 Chevy, a 1997 Toyota Corolla, and a 1996 beat up on both sides, missing the front bumper, Honda Accord. So because of that, there's no room for the Porsche, the Ferrari, and the Bentley. He says to me, Dad, does that make any sense? I said, no, that's crazy. He says to me, well, Dad, you did that this week. I said, what are you talking about? He says, I offered you something important. I was calling you about something important for you. And you told me you have no time. You can't take my Bentley and Ferrari. Because your car, your driveway is full of Chevys and Corollas. He said, Dad, I had something important and your driveway was full of junk. So because of that, you had no time to talk about something that's important for you. He says, so many people are like this in life. You call them up and say, I have something that matters. No, I'm too busy. With what? With nonsense. I said to him, son, two things. Number one, that marshal is chutzpah. Number two, I love it and I'm going to use it wherever I go. Because it's so true. Do you ever have someone call you up and say, let's get involved in something. Let's start learning early in the morning. Can't, too tired. Let's start learning at night. Nah, too busy. Now let's get involved. There's a chesed project. We could start something. Ask too hard. Let's help the community. Ah, not for me. So what are you busy with? What are we spending our time with? Where does our energy go? Small people spend time on small things, and big people spend time on big things. I have no idea how society has done this, but society has gotten us to care about everything. They got us to care about sports, about teams, that literally we care more than the player on the field. The players on the Mets don't care how they do tonight, but there's people here who, like, their life depends on it. And they get disappointed at the end of every season. Like, as it's such, wow. What'd you do? You invested the whole summer? Apps. How do they get us to download a million apps? Apps that we can't use, apps we don't care about, but somehow they get us. Somehow they get us on chats. And they get us responding to chats. We don't even want to be on the chat. If not for the fact that they had that lousy feature that says, Rabbi Joey Haber left the chat, we'd be off the chat in a minute. So why are we responding to it? They convinced us to run errands back and forth and buying and returning and buying and returning. This happens every year Pesach. I come home every night before Pesach and there's a few garbage bags outside my house. I tell my wife, what's this? She's like, I'm cleaning the house to Pesach, so I'm getting rid of all the stuff. So I'm like, so why'd you buy it in the first place? You buy it, throw it in the garbage, you buy it, throw it in the garbage. How many times do we have conversations about petty things? You ever been in a conversation when they say, you heard she's dating? No, I heard she's talking, not dating. She broke up. No, I heard they are dating, Lamaisa. No, but I think they're not. No, I heard, I'm telling you, they put a down payment on the hall already. What are we talking about? When you get the invitation for their wedding, you don't even want to go. So why are we having this conversation? Sensitivities that we're busy with. This is what he meant. No, that's not what he meant. You know, he's going through something. That's what he meant. Why are we talking about this? How do they get people to watch shows that don't end? A few couple of years ago, I went to Chicago for a speech. So back then, I didn't care which seat I got in the plane. Just put me in any seat. Now I care, but back then I didn't. So they pretty much put me in the back, like row 35, middle seat. So I'm sitting on the plane. What's the flight to Chicago? I don't know, about 2 hours. Sitting on the plane, the middle seat, right before the plane takes off, or they close the doors, a man comes, he's sitting next to me. He takes up pretty much a seat and a half. So I'm sitting like this the whole time, so I can't do anything myself, so I'm watching him the whole time. The man's either in his 40s or 50s, I don't know. The entire flight, he was crushing candy. The entire flight, he was playing Candy Crush. You know that game? Swipe and swipe and this and swipe. Not for 5 minutes, for 2 hours. And the whole time, I just wanted to tell him one thing. You're an adult. What are you doing? So last week, I took a flight to Minneapolis. I told you, now I care about where I sit. So pretty much I sit with the pilot. So sitting in the front, and a frum guy in his 40s, 50s, comes, sits next to me. Sits down. The flight to Minneapolis is 2.5 hours. The entire flight is crushing candy. I'm like, is he the guy's brother? The whole flight? What? We could laugh at all of this, but so many of our lives is some kind of combination of this. Buying things we don't need, chatting about things we don't care about, watching things that don't matter, talking about it endlessly. How many people here have spent hours talking about the election? Let me ask you a question. Do you have more than one vote? You have one vote, and pretty much, I'm sure you know who you're voting for at this point. No? You know? Pretty confident you know. So what's the conversation going to do? No, this is important. It is important, but you talking about it is going to make zero difference. Everyone at your table is also convinced. No one's voting for that girl. No one's voting for her. So what are we debating?
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The Pasuk says in Mishle, so wisely, Chacham lev yikach mitzvot. A wise person grabs mitzvot. Ve'evil and a fool, sifataim yelabet. He exhausts his lips. Now, I would make, if I was writing the Pasuk, I would contrast it this way. Chacham lev yikach mitzvot. A wise man grabs mitzvot. Ve'evil and a fool yikach averot. He grabs sins. The wise person grabs mitzvot, and the evil person or the foolish person grabs sins. What does it mean, sifataim ilabet? His lips are tired. So the Mitzudat David on the Pasuk has a beautiful explanation. He says, here's what it is. A chacham lev, a wise-hearted person, is finding a way to accumulate big and important things in his life. Ve'avil, the fool, he's not a rasha, he's just a fool. Aval ha'avil, Dr. Mitzudis, mi'ageyahu asvasayim levad, he exhausts his lips only. Loimar harbe, to talk a lot, ve'ein aysa me'uma, and he doesn't do anything. The fool is not the bad guy. The fool is a person that just talks and talks and talks. Talks about what he did, talks about what he's going to do, talks about how people need him, talks about how he needs people, talks and talks. What are you doing? What are you talking about? I have yet to meet a person that is bored. I don't know one person that's not busy. Everybody I know is busy. The difference between productive people and not productive people is not whether you're busy or not. The difference between productive people and not productive people is simply what you're busy with. Are you busy with things that will move the needle, that will make a difference, that will change your life, that will change your family, that will change your children, that will change the Jewish people? Or are you busy with pettiness that society somehow convinced you to talk about and think about and worry about and buy and sell and return and buy and talk and discuss and debate? Which one is your life about? Let me give you another mashal. This is a true story, but it serves as a mashal. So, I live in Brooklyn in the winter, but in the summer I go to this place called Deal. Anyone here ever heard of Deal? You heard of Deal. You heard of Salt? You heard a deal. Okay. So, for years, I learned in Lakewood many years. Then I moved to Brooklyn. I rented in Lakewood for every summer for 10 years, 12 years. And then my father was a rubber deal, and he got sick. He passed away four months ago. And now I had to take over the shul, so pretty much I had to rent the house and deal. Now, the rent in Lakewood for the summer, 6-7 years ago, was about like $7,000 for the summer. Rent and deal was a little more. The salt steak is even more. So the rented deal is a little more. So we rented a house in Deal one summer, but the house was sold by the time the summer was over. And now the next winter, we had to look for another house to rent. So the real estate agent in February sends my wife some pictures of a house. Do you want this house? My wife shows me the pictures. I said, okay, it looks fine. Let's take it. The agent said, no, I think you should come see it. I said, nah, I don't have time to go up to Deal to see it. Let's take it. She said, no, I think you should come see it. I said, okay, we'll come. So we came one Sunday afternoon to see the house. It was literally a dump. Disaster. I was greeted by spiders, cobwebs. It was the worst. Terrible, tiny, impossible. So I said, oh, I guess we're not taking this one. Somehow Zillow, what's it called where they put the pictures? They make the houses look like mansions when they're literally like a 4x4. So I said, I guess this is a no. She said, okay, I'll show you another house. I said, no, this is too far. Another house, this is too small. Another house, this is too expensive. Like, okay, no go today. So we went back to Brooklyn. A few Sundays later, we come back. Look at this house. No, it's too far out of the way. This house is a crazy house. This house is a disaster. This house is a dump. We have another house. Someone else might rent it, but if not, you could get it. I'm leaving. Deal, they call. Ooh, the other person took it first. You're out. So now I come back to Deal a third time. I'm at my wit's end. This house, that house, that house. No good, no good, no good, no good, no good. Finally, we're leaving Deal. And my aunt is a real estate agent. She says, why don't you see this house? This house for sale. I tell my wife, we're not going to see it more. I said, let's see it. I said, nah, there's no way my aunt even knows what she's doing. Let's get out of here. She said, Joey, it's on the way out. Let's stop. I said, okay. Right before I'd come to the other day, I made a cheshbon with someone, like, what would the rent of the summer, what would it equal of the mortgage of the whole year, whatever. I walk into this house. Now, I happen to be the kind of person that takes, like, forever to make a decision. Like, if you took me out for dinner, half the time I'd be asking the waiter, what's the top item? What's the next best item? What's the third best? I don't want those three. What's the next? I'd be that guy. Take forever to make a decision. I walk into the house. I see the living room. I see the side yard. The trees can be cut. I see it's overlooking a golf course. I see the master bedroom. Another couple comes into the house right behind us. They're looking at the house too. In 3 minutes, I told the agent, we're buying this house. I said, get rid of those people. We're buying this house. I'm telling you, it's the fastest decision I ever made in my whole life. Don't tell my wife, she might be insulted. The fastest decision I ever made in my whole life was buying this house. And every year, every summer, it's now 4 years ago, every summer, every day that I walk into the house, I'm like, wow. Imagine I said yes to that one, or 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 that one. I never would have been able to say yes to this. But because I said no to all the junk, there was room in my driveway, quote unquote, for the house that was right for me. Your life is not going to be important unless you know how to put aside the junk and to focus on what you believe is important for your life. We don't make mistakes because we're trying to do bad. We make mistakes because we're just distracted from good. So one day we want to learn and we keep checking a phone. Another day we want to dive in and we have a million little things in our head. Another day we want to get involved in chesed and we're like, no, I have to go home because it's a 12th episode of some dumb show that's going to have no ending. And we're not intentionally bad. We're just accidentally small. The Gemara famously says, "Ein adam oiva avera elokei nichnas bo ruach shtus." No one commits a sin unless it comes into him a ruach shtus. What does ruach shtus mean? Doesn't mean you go crazy. Ruach shtus just means you get petty, you get small, you care about nonsense. If you're not sure how effective the marketing industry is to get us, to convince us into things, I have a proof. I'm going to prove to you how much, how well, how effective they are that they convince us into anything. Have you seen that car on the street these days? You know the one I'm talking about? It's some kind of combination of a spaceship and a submarine. It looks like a refrigerator on the road. You know what I'm talking about? That car. Have you seen that car? How have they convinced anybody to buy it? It is the ugliest thing I've ever seen. Every time I'm on the road and I see that car, I always do the same thing. I like peek in to see who's the fool. But they were smart. They put tinted windows so no one could see how dumb they were. I'm not joking even. I'm really serious. It's a very expensive car. How did they get people to say, no, not that one, that one, not that car, this one? Somehow, the marketing industry could get you to care. Just like they could get you to be obsessed. If you're just extending your den in your house, what's the shade color? What's the couch color? What's the carpet? How does it match? Let's spend 3 weeks with books of carpet pieces in our house, comparing them and sharing them. And that'll be the obsession for this month. And then we'll find out something else to care about next month until the year goes by. And then the next month we'll be to another year goes by. Another year goes by. And also we look back. Don't you want your life to be obsessed with things that when you look back at the end of the day, you're proud of your day, and at the end of the week, you're proud of your week, and at the end of the month, you're proud of your month, and frankly, at the end of the decade, you say, wow, look what I did this decade. Or do you want to be happy with a few nice, important things, and everything else is just a waste of life? I want to share with you a story that we all grew up on. But I'm sharing you the story because this story haunts me. And this time of year, it needs to haunt us. The story goes that the Nitziv of Alashin, I don't know if he was standing at his Siyam of Shas, that they say was for the 1,000th time, or he was standing at a Suda where he was completed one of his sets of Svarim. But either way, he got up and he told the audience, I'd like to share a story. I was once a little boy, 8 or 9 or 10 years old, and my parents sent me to cheder without any money and got me tutors scratching together dollars and cents to pay for it. And I didn't do well. One day I was passing the kitchen, and I hear my father and mother talking to each other. And my father says to my mother, he can't learn. I think it's out. It's done. Let's make him a shoemaker. We'll make him a good yid. And that'll be it. He says, and peeking through the door, I saw the little crack in the door. I saw tears in my mother's cheeks. And I thought about the pain I was causing her. And I said to myself, I need to become great. I ran into the kitchen. I said, give me one more chance. And here I am. I finished Shas. Hundreds and hundreds of times. He says, I think about all the time. Imagine I became a shoemaker. I would have been a good one. I would have been an honest shoemaker. I would have sewed the shoes properly, cut the leather the right way, been nice to my customers, smiled at them, returned the change with honesty. And then I would have stood after 120 years between the best in front of the Beis Din Shamala. And they would have said to me, okay, what do you have to show for your life? I'll show them a bunch of pairs of shoes. And then they would say to me, where's Shas? And I would say, no, I don't do Shas, I do shoes. No, where's Shas? Where's Shas? Shas? I don't know what you're talking about. I'm a shoemaker. No, where's Shas? Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. And I would have looked at him and said, what are you saying? Where's your Svarim on Chumash? And I would have said, me? I'm the kid with ADD. Where's your Svarim on Gemara? Me? I dropped out of school when I was 10 years old. And then they would show me and say, look, this is all of what you could have done. That story haunts me. Tell you why. I think I'm a good person. I think I'm a pretty good person. But I have no idea. After 120 years, if in the Beis Din Shamal, they're going to look at me and say, Joey, where's all this? I'm going to say, what? They're going to say, all this you could have done. So I think I did pretty good. I'm going to say, yeah, decent. But you could have done so much more. That is the thought that needs to be on our mind every minute for the next 2 weeks. I know you're a good person. But has society made us think small? Or are we thinking about the fact that we could do so much more? I'll give you one example of what I mean. Of how you could accomplish big things. And it doesn't have to start with a six-run homer. It starts with one thing and another and another. And it starts to compound itself. I'll give you a little example. And this example means a lot to me. Because the woman I'm about to tell you about is my mother. She'll live and be well at 120. My mother serves the community from when she wakes up to when she goes to sleep, 6 days a week. She teaches Kallahs. She teaches it one at a time. Each one gets like 15 lessons, like for free. Like at the end, maybe they give her like a platter or a spoon or something. I'm like, Ma, you got a lot of spoons. She's like, ah, Joe, whatever. Between the lessons, she's answering questions from college. At this point, she's taught in the thousands of college. And she's answering their questions 5 months later, 10 years later, nonstop. So involved she is in every chesed. She makes shidduchim. She gets people money. She's like a nonstop machine. She answers their shilas. My father, all of a sudden, was a rush. She brings the shilas to my father. She tell him, discuss it, answer the people back. She worked with so many couples. So many of them had fertility issues. So now she opened up pretty much an infertility organization. Again, for free. All day, every day. And what's so impressive about this to me is my mother went to public school, elementary school, and public school, high school. But she decided to teach one bride. And then another, and then another, until it became a lifetime full of incredible things. My mother lives only a few blocks away from me, and she doesn't come to my house 3 times a week to play with my kids. She doesn't have that kind of time. Build something incredible. Build something big. And it doesn't have to start so big. It could start small and important and then build into big. I'll prove the point if I can. I think this is an incredible little piece of information. If you took this piece of paper and folded it 50 times, how high would the paper go? Okay, see, I folded it once, it's this thin. How high would the paper go if you folded it 50 times? You've been playing along with me tonight. How high do you think the paper would go? Take a shot at it. An inch. Good guess. What do you think? I'll tell you the answer. The answer is if you fold the paper 50 times, it will go from here to the moon. You want to understand why? Because when you fold it once, it's 2, then 4, then 8, then 16, then 32, then 64, then 128, then let's just go with 250. Let's just go with 250. It's simple for me, okay? 500, 1,000. You only had 10. 2,000, 4,000, 8,000, 16,000, 32,000, 64,000, 128,000, 250,000, 500,000, a million. You only had 20. By the time you get to 30, you're at a billion. By the time you get to 40, you're at a trillion. By the time you get to 50, you're at a gazillion, or whatever number the kids come up with. It's unbelievable. But you see, I only folded it 50 times. That's how it works. When you do great things and you keep moving the snowball down the mountain, it starts to grow exponentially. You start learning something. You incorporate a change in your life. Next thing you know, it changes your home. Next thing you know, your grandson is something incredible. Because of the one shift that you made 30 years ago. That's how life works. Or instead, no, you didn't have time to learn that half hour that day because you had to discuss how the Giants are doing. Like, that's worth anybody's time. Al kein yaymu ha-maishlim. Maishla means rulers. Don't view yourself as some person in a little gunfight. View yourself as a ruler, someone important. Bo cheshbon. What's the cheshbon? If you want to do great things, you need to realize, if you're going to do mitzvahs, great mitzvahs, there's a hefsid, there's a loss. You got to be willing to take that loss, because you're not going to have time for small things. Everyone's going to be talking about something, and you're not going to know what happened. To do a mitzvah for real and again, you have to be comfortable with the hefsid that comes with it. And to avoid averus, you need to realize, averus have schar, averus have joy. It is fun to speak Lashon Hara. Let's be straight. It's fun. It's fun to be that guy in the middle of the conversation that everyone says, oh, what happened? It's fun. If you want to really do big things, you have to let go of the schar avera, of the joy that comes along with small things. Your this world will be better. If I can use my mother as an example again, my mother has 9 children. If you would know the amount that we try to follow her, the amount of all we have for her, the respect we have for her. Yes, she doesn't come to my house 3 times a week playing in the mud with my kids. But everywhere I go in the street, oh, that's your mother? Wow. Oh, she saved my life. Oh, she saved my marriage. Oh, she saved my daughter. I'd rather that than a mother that's playing magnet tiles on the floor with my kid. When you do important things, not just your Olam Haba becomes greater. Your experience in this world becomes so much more powerful. Let me conclude with a story. I shared the story in a share that went online a few weeks ago. But I'll share it again because I'll tell you one in a minute. There was a professor in Israel, Chiloni Lagamri, completely irreligious, grew up on a kibbutz. One day he started learning a little Gemara. Next day he started learning a little Chumash, a little Navi. Next thing you know, he starts to keep Shabbos, Tefillin, Mezuzah, Kashrus. Then his wife follows, and so do his kids. Before you know, he's a full-fledged Ben Torah, him, his whole family. No one had the guts to ask him why. Finally, one day someone came up with him and said, like, Professor, how'd this happen? You have no background for this at all. How'd this happen? He says, I'll tell you how it happened. I'll tell you the story. I was driving one day, and I was driving to Tel Aviv, and I stopped at a red light. So now the guy listening to the story knows what's going to happen next, that like some 3 terrorists came out of the bushes. They had machine guns. They had hand grenades. Maybe, I don't know, they had some crazy like a pager or something like that, and they were going to blow him up, and he avoided it, and Hashem saved his life. And that's why he became from. He said, no, nothing crazy happened. I just stood at the red light. And instead of spacing out, I was staring at the car in front of me. And there was a bumper sticker on that car that had 3 lines on it. It changed my life. The bumper sticker said, Hadoeg l'shana. If you're worried about your year, Yizrachita, plant wheat, because you produce bread that you could eat all year. Hadoeg l'shanim. If you're worried about many years, Yitamata, plant a tree, because that'll produce fruit that you could pick for many years. But the third line said, Hadoeg l'dorot. If you're worried about generations, Yechanech et banav, guide your children. He says, I'm sitting there in the car and I'm thinking to myself, one second, I know what this means. I grew up on a kibbutz. I know what it's like to be Yizrachita. I did it. You plant it. You harvest. You grind. You thresh. You do. You go to process. You make wheat. You make flour, you make bread and you eat it all year. I know what it's like to plant the tree and go with the buckets and pick all the fruits of the trees. He says, but that third line, I never even thought of Hadoeg l'dorot, generations. What am I doing for generations? What am I doing every night? Giving my kids a few dollars? He says, I need to understand what it means to be a Jew. He says, and that's the day I started to learn. And that's the day I changed my life. One simple man made a small change that made a big difference and will change his eternity. So I said this speech, like I said, a couple of weeks ago online. And it was online, and someone a few days later sent me a text and said, I have to share with you another story. He says, I knew a woman who was completely irreligious, and she became frum. And people asked them, what made you frum? She said, I'll tell you what made me frum. What made me frum is Rav Lau, the former chief rabbi of Israel. Rav Lau used to be, was a famous Holocaust survivor. And when people would see him, they would say, come over to him and approach him and say, Did you know my father? Did you know my grandfather? Did you know my grandfather, Baal Tahin? Did you know my mother? You know my grandmother? Rav Lau every time would answer the same. I don't care who your father was. I don't care who your grandfather was. I don't care who your mother was. I don't care who your grandmother was. What I care is who your grandchildren will be. And the woman said, that line changed my life. We have thoughts. We have a lot of thinking to do. We could be like the rest of the world. They're good at it. And they'll find some way to rope us in. And it'll be more than just a little healthy break. They'll rope us in to somehow get us obsessed. Or we could be Meishlim, we could be rulers that understand how to make an objective calculation. Is it worth the loss that comes along with it? Is it worth the gain that comes along with the Aveira? Or am I ready to live bigger? I want a nice and bayam darach. I want to make a road in the ocean. I want to make something important. I'm not interested in being dominated by the Ruach Shtus. I don't want to be a person who, when I pass away after 120 years, they're going to talk about how much I exhausted my lips. I don't want to be that person. I want to be a person who's chacham lev. I want to be a person whose heart is open for incredible things. I want to be a person who this Rosh Hashanah starts folding the paper again and again and again. I want to be a person who lives for eternity because I don't want to choose a little road in the forest. I want to choose a journey as vast as the sea.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.